Okay, pray with me before we begin the message. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here. We're so thankful for your word. I pray that all of us would be resolved deep within our hearts, Lord, to truly know you, to know you better, to invest time every day in your word, to come before you in prayer and petition and meditation. Please help us, Lord. Fill us all with that hunger and that passion. I pray that no one leaves here satisfied with who they are today or where they are in their spiritual growth, but they want more. Please give us all that desire for more. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay. A few weeks ago, we interviewed a candidate for an associate minister. Some of you guys may or may not know that, so we're interviewing candidates for associate minister. We interviewed this guy named Robert over the phone, okay? And looking at his resume, John Letizia, one of our elders, had a question for him. He said, it looks like you didn't really stay at any one spot, you know, over these 30 years for very long. Can you account for that? And the guy said, well, one of the jobs I took, I came as the family minister, the family minister, and the senior minister left with the secretary 3 weeks later, and he got a promotion. That's not any way to get a promotion, is it? So he became the interim minister, and then he said later on he went to a church where the pastor murdered his wife. I'm thinking, I didn't know if it dawned on anybody else. I don't know if it dawned on anybody else, but I think, why are we still talking to this guy? I'm going to bring him here. And I said, I can see tomorrow's headlines. Elders buy pastor's wife gun for Christmas. New Year's begins with a bang. See? You're right, Katie, that was pretty funny. See, Katie said, I actually said something funny. And it was spontaneous, too. Well, obviously, this guy Robert had a tough ministry assignments over the years. Well, how about this ministry assignment? Listen to this church's bio. The church rejected its founder's authority. The church was divided over who was leading them, who was in charge. The church quarreled over marriage issues and celibacy, food, and communion. They bragged about having more important spiritual gifts than each other. They sued each other in court. They struggled with sexual immorality, and one of their members was even having an affair with his stepmother. And they were proud. Robert's ministry assignment has nothing on this church. And if you haven't guessed, the church I'm talking about is the church at Corinth. The problems that confronted Paul as their spiritual father and pastor are written about in his letters to the 1 Corinthians and the 2 Corinthians. And today we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. I want to show you a couple maps real quick, just as a frame of reference. You can find these all over the internet if you did a search for Corinth or Middle East or Paul's journeys. This is one. Jerusalem's the far right corner down here, to my right, maybe to your left. Jerusalem's down here, the far end, and you travel up north along the land. Sometimes travel over boat, etc. Corinth is on the island over here, underneath Athens. If you can see that south part of Greece, and Ephesus is right across the bay, so to speak, directly across. So there used to be boats that would travel between Ephesus and Corinth and Athens back and forth. So Paul, when he writes this letter to the Corinthians, he is in Ephesus, so on the other side of the water. But word still gets to him as there was lots of commercial travel back and forth at this time. Go ahead and go to the next couple just to show them. See where Greece is. Corinth is the south part of Greece. Right there in the corner between this pass, between Athens and Corinth. And then the last one, go ahead and show the last one too. Again, there's Corinth and Isthmus. This is referred to as some kind of Pharaoh passageway or whatever. This is a major area as far as commerce and things like that in these days. Okay. Of all the churches described in the Bible, the church of Corinth is the most modern. It's the most like an American or a Western church. It was a booming metropolis, wealthy, full of idolatry, sexual immorality, prostitution, and the worship of false gods. The problems they had find parallels throughout history and are especially prevalent today. It makes you wonder how that church survived and why anyone would want to be part of it. This reminded me of this quote from Groucho Marx. I didn't realize it was him. In 1949, Groucho Marx wrote a letter to a private club to resign as a member. The running joke that he later shared with his audience was, "I don't want to belong to any club that would accept me as one of its members." I don't want to belong to any club that would accept me. I don't want to belong to any church that would accept me. This idea, this quote, it reflects a great tension inside of every one of us. We want to belong. We want to be accepted. We want to be loved and appreciated. And yet our independent nature and the guilt of our sin that Satan loves to remind us of, you know, if you only knew me. This independent nature and the guilt of our sin, they both keep us from being open and honest, transparent with God and with others. We all have this great need to belong, and yet we're terrified that we're going to be rejected. This tension that exists gets resolved when we learn and believe and live like we are accepted because of what God has done for us, not because of what we have done. Paul calls God's church his holy people. In spite of their weaknesses and mistakes and sins, their problems don't make the Corinthian church, they don't make God's church unholy. They just make a church that's in need of correction, just like each of us. Let's look at Paul's message, or how he begins the letter, and investigate, you know, how he gets started in correcting the people. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Sosthenes. I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Verse 4. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gift he has given you, now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you'll be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Notice how Paul begins this letter. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. An apostle is one who is sent, who is commissioned by Christ. He has the authority that he received from Christ, and he has the full power, all power of what has been given to him from Christ. He speaks not his own words, but he speaks on behalf of Christ, the one who sent him. His first sentence is meant to command attention. I, Paul, am an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am sent. I am commissioned. I have full authority. He wants to command the attention of the listeners. Remember, in that day, most of them were not going to be reading this letter for themselves. They would be gathered like this, and the person who was speaking would proclaim Paul's words. Straighten up. Get it right. This is what the Lord has to say. Paul says, I was chosen by him, not by human will or initiative. Paul is speaking on behalf of Christ, but his words are presented in humility and love and grace. Later in chapter 15, this is what Paul says. Listen, chapter 15 of the same letter, Paul says, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. It might seem obvious to all of us today that Paul's words carry the weight and the gravity of God's word itself. But clearly, not everyone recognized this in that day, and probably not even our day. But this wasn't the case for the Thessalonians. Listen to this. Paul wrote them, and he commended them for accepting his authority and his word as the word of God. This is what it says of the Thessalonians when Paul wrote them. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. The power of God's word, having been spoken, read, thought, it has the power to continue to do the work it was intended to for those who believe. When you consider all of the problems that Paul is addressing in this letter, divisions, immorality, idolatry, it is shocking what he says in verse. It is shocking that he says in verse 2, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people, he made you holy by means of Christ Jesus. You are God's holy people. This means that you are set apart. The Amplified translation of this verse reads, to those who are sanctified, that is, set apart, made holy in Christ Jesus, who are selected and called as saints, God's people, you are a saint. You are holy. We are all saints. Now, if you were Paul and you had the pen in your hand, how would you describe a group of people who are divided over human leaders, are envious and jealous, are allowing incest among their fellowship, suing one another in the courts, disagreeing about sex and marriage, and divided over spiritual gifts, and displaying a chronic lack of love? How would you describe this group of people? God's holy people, of course. Actually, it's not all that shocking, because Paul says you are holy because God made you holy. God made them holy just like he makes us holy. When we were joined with Christ, we were united with him. With each other, we were all made holy. Now, Paul's words were not just for the Corinthians in that day. Paul's words were for you and me as well. Listen to what he said. All people everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All God's people everywhere on the earth, we are all called into his family. We are all part of the church. And this Greek word for church is ecclesia, and it means an assembly or a gathering of people. When this word was first used, it was used of a gathering of people in a town. So if there was a town and they were going to have a town-wide meeting, they would assign someone the responsibility of going out through all the town and crying out, there's a meeting tonight, 7 o'clock, be there. There's a meeting tonight, 7 o'clock, be there. This person would go out and cry out, there's a meeting tonight. Everyone would be called. He would go into the streets and announcing in a loud voice the time and the place, all were invited. And all who arrived, get that? All who arrived were called the ecclesia, the called out ones. So the church is filled with all those who heard the invitation and accepted and chose to assemble. So let me ask you a question. If someone came up to you at school or at work tomorrow and asked you, are you holy? What would you say? Listen to these verses I'm sorry, Kelly, that was rhetorical. I know. You give me something to think about. Keep going. All right. Listen, what would you say? Listen to these verses and then answer this for yourself in your heart. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, 2, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. And his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10, the writer says, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all time. For by that one offering, he made forever perfect those who are being made holy. So how would you answer that question? Are you holy? Yes. Amen. Are you holy? And you would say yes. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, been washed in the waters of baptism, and filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are one of God's holy people. It is a gift that you have been offered and you've received. You didn't earn it. Before Paul begins addressing these multitude of problems, before he starts addressing their confusion and in the areas of correction, he offers a word of thanksgiving and encouragement to all those that he's getting ready to correct. This is what Paul says. Before Paul begins addressing this correction, he says he is thankful that they belong to Christ, that they are enriched and eloquent and knowledgeable. They possess every spiritual gift they need, and they will keep strong and free from blame. And to what does he base his confidence in the church of Corinth? Was it their morality that he bases their confidence? Was it their decision-making skills or their interpretation of Scripture? Was it their wealth? Absolutely not. Paul's confidence is in God, who is faithful, and because it is his will to do it. In verse 9, Paul said, God will do this. For he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you accepted his invitation to join him? God sent Jesus Christ, his Son, into the world to save the world, not to condemn it. Not to condemn you and not to condemn me. He called us into his family and into partnership with his Son. As partners, we are members of the church, the ecclesia, called out ones. Each one of us has Each one of us has a part to play in Christ's church. That means every one of you has a part to play. Later in Paul's letter, Paul says that we are all part of one body. You guys remember that? We're all part of one body, and we all have a part to play. He calls some of us hands and some of us feet, some of us eyes, some of us ears. But you know, I didn't see that he mentioned Gluteus Maximus, did he? Did that just go right over you? Did he mention Gluteus Maximus? No. He calls us hands and feet and eyes. Unfortunately, too many Christians have mastered the use of this body part. Amen? He also didn't say anything about us being a mouth, did he? Because we would be all talk and no walk. You play a part if you're in partnership, if you're a partner. Here's the bottom line. God is the one who chose you long ago. He made you holy, cleansed by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he called you into his family, into his work, and into his church. So never say, I don't want to belong to any church that would accept me. If God could use the Corinthians in his work to save the world and redeem people one person at a time, then he can use you as well. Amen? For some of us, our independent and self-sufficient and proud nature keep us from fulfilling the potential that God has given you. Your pride, your self-sufficiency, God who made you, who put you into his family, the family that you belong to, gave you the gifts and the talents that you possess. And he called you into partnership to redeem the lost world. And everyone in here knows somebody who is lost. Ask yourself, what am I doing right now to serve Christ? With the gifts and the talents that he has blessed you with, seriously, what are you doing with them right now? What are you going to do with those gifts and talents tomorrow? Or how about this week? You have been called to do only what he equipped and called you to do. You have been called to participate, to do your part, nothing more, nothing less. If you have material, listen, if you have material resources and finances and time and energy and intellect, no matter what you think of yourself or your abilities, God wants to use them for his glory and purpose. This is where we find our greatest fulfillment. You know, my daughter and my son are here, and I often think about young people trying to figure out what they're going to do with themselves, what they're going to do with their life. Once they get out of high school and everything's been ordered for them, they start to get choices. What do I want to do? You know what? It starts with every single day asking the Lord, what do you want to do with me? You've given me the gift of this next 24 hours. What do you want me to do? And I promise you, my daughter, my son, as well as all of you, if you will simply yield your life to him and say, use it. In whose hands are they, your time, talent, and treasure better equipped? In God's hands. Purpose and meaning and fulfillment in life come from obeying God and using all that he has blessed you with for his glory and purpose, not for your own selfish purposes. Using our God-given abilities and resources will make Jesus Christ proud. Have you thought about that? Do you remember the passage, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Now, why do you think some people will hear that statement from Jesus while others will not? Because some of us refuse to use our gifts and our talents for his glory. Imagine for a moment that you have a face-to-face conversation with Jesus Christ next Sunday night. Mark it on your calendar. You can't skip it. You can't blow it off. You can't pretend to be sick. Can't pretend to forget. Seriously, use your imagination. This is an actual meeting next Sunday night. Jesus sets up the appointment to check in, to ask how you're using your time. How are you using your money? How are you using the talents I gave you? How is your character being developed? How are you relating to your wife and your kids, your neighbors? What are you doing with all that I have blessed you with? If you knew that you would have to look him in the eyes and truthfully report how you're doing, how would your life be different tomorrow? What would you do differently this week? Now, I don't have your imagination. I imagine many of you have much better imaginations than I do, but if you set your heart and your desire to doing exactly what Jesus Christ wants you to do with your time, talent, and treasure, and you focus on that every single day, and you yield and surrender up to him every morning, this is your day, Lord. If I have that meeting next Sunday night, I want to answer truthfully and honestly, and I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you are not sure that you are one of his, if you are not sure that you've been called into the family, Why are you settling for that level of insecurity and uncertainty when the invitation to accept Jesus Christ is there every moment of every day? I can't understand it. On behalf of Jesus Christ, I invite you to surrender your life to Him. He created you. He knows you. He knows the good and the bad. He knows your mistakes. He sent Jesus to the earth to pay the price for your sins so you wouldn't have to. If you believe that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, then Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died for your sins, was buried in the tomb and raised to new life for you, offers an invitation. What are you waiting for? You are going to face Him face to face one day. And I hope and pray that you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Accept His invitation to join His family and become one of His holy people. Will you? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I ask You to speak to all of our hearts, that we have just a deep level of commitment to truly resolve every day to yield up our lives to You, that we might use all that we have for Your glory. I pray, Father, for the one or two or many in here today, Lord, who have never truly surrendered to You. I pray that in their hearts right now, that it is a transaction going in their mind, that they believe in You, they trust You, they know they need a Savior, they know they need their sins cleansed, that You would just speak to their heart and let them know how much You love them. And if they simply yield it, their lives to You, surrender and repent of their sins, that they can be welcomed into Your family. Lord, speak to each one of us that we might apply this truth, we might be moved and motivated to live out the life You've called us to. Help us all to realize that we are holy and set apart because of what Jesus did. Lord, make us into Your people in Jesus' name. Amen.